live by the river. At dawn, before the tourists erupt like flies, I start work. From the jetty on the estuary, I launch my small boat loaded with various nets, so I can scoop out floating rubbish. People don't want to be reminded that they are polluting the world, and it's part of my role to tidy it all away so they can tell themselves things aren't so bad after all. Today, in barely a few meters, I come across beer cans, plastic bags, a bicycle wheel, a child's shoe. I recycle what I find according to the authorities' guidelines. You'd think people would want to do their bit to keep the water clean, clear and flowing, but no, they chuck things over the sides of the boats or come up at night to dump their rubbish, as if it were a bottomless pit that could absorb everything and remain intact. Last week, I saved another goose trapped in the reeds, plastic caught in its beak. Now we're told not to touch any bird in case of catching avian flu. Stop the spread. Water can carry diseases. I feel like I'm the only one picking up and sorting litter, that I'm alone fighting a losing battle. The garbage isn't even half of the problem. If I could find every single wrapper, carton, plastic bottle, ring pull, or other piece of trash and lift it out, the water still wouldn't be clean. Fish would still be dying. Green algae fed by phosphates would still be starving the water of oxygen and killing the plants, because the factories and farms are hemorrhaging their waste. The water companies are discharging raw sewage. And that is why the water of my river is red and thickening like clotted blood. If rivers are the arteries and veins circulating oxygen, flushing out toxins, this one that I live beside, that I have called mine, is suffering from cardiac arrest. I can't bear it anymore. I've had enough. I retire in 2 weeks and I know exactly what I'm going to do. I've bought myself a camper van, and my plan is to travel up into the hills, deep into the countryside, following the river backwards to its source. I'm dying to escape and find a simpler, purer life. I've always been fascinated by the flow of water. When I was 10 years old, my parents bought me a globe, and with my finger I would trace the largest rivers from mountains through valleys, widening and dividing, until they reached a sea or ocean. I still have that globe, but it stopped turning decades ago and the colours faded. It's hard now to distinguish between the land and the sea. I'm going to get the other side of the blockages and find the clean place where waterfalls tumble and streams run clear. No more wading through filth for me. I'm out of here. I'm going yonder. On my last day at work, there's no party because people can't mix. It suits me. I'm not in the mood for a party. I'm fed up with people and all their debris. Think of the paper plates, the plastic straws, the bottles, the cigarette ends stubbed out in leftover cake. I drive away past the boy with spray paint graffitiing the railway hoardings, past shoppers queuing with masks, until the road's clear and I head into the mountains towards the sky, the river beside me narrowing as I climb. I park up, get out of the van, and look back. I can't see the town anymore. The sounds are different here. Skylarks warble, insects buzzing, and water trickling over rocks. Yonder can't be far away. I am drawn towards the stream where I dip my hands and splash my face. Careful, a woman's voice calls and I swing around. She's sitting on a camping chair next to a van, very like mine. You'll have to boil it if you want to drink it, she says. Even up here? A husband appears from the other side of the van. Afraid so, he says. I don't intend to join Melissa and John for the supper they cook over a camping stove. It's only that they love the river too. And so I find myself talking, telling them why I am travelling alone, that my job has come to an end, that I've been cleaning and litter picking forever, but that there is no end to it, that it is a pointless task, that the river is terminally sick. I even tell them that my wife has died. COVID? Melissa asks. Blood clots, I managed to reply, last year. And then I hear myself telling them about the clean place I'm seeking, the sparkling, limpid, crystal clear place away from all the mess, the yonder. The stream gurgles and flows as if washing through our collective thoughts. Doesn't exist, mate, John says to me gently. Not anymore. I put my head in my hands. All we can do is try and find a way back, Melissa says after a while. Come with us tomorrow. We're doing a beach clean. There's a crowd of us. We're campaigning against pollution dumping too. We could use your help and expertise. The next morning, I follow Melissa and John back down the mountain. Their camper van is on its last legs, but it's their home. We travel further along the estuary. I meet the beach clean team who are doing for free what I did for a living, and their enthusiasm touches me. I walk in tandem with them at a safe distance along the shoreline, each one of us with a bag and pincers. I think about how we humans did the damage and now must clean it up, one plastic bag at a time. I think about the intensive care that the river now needs and that I will be its nurse for as long as it takes. When it gets dark, we gather together on the beach with guitars and blankets. And as the earth turns, the moon shines across the waves. Someone is singing, "We'll save this beautiful world."
We still have a chance.
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 Live by the River was read by Graham Mitchell, the BAFTA-nominated TV showrunner and scriptwriter. This story is part of the University of Exeter's Green Futures. We still have a chance. 12 stories for 12 days of COP27.